Please rise. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The text we consider this morning is the 10 verses of Psalm number 6. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. Depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment. So far, the Holy Word. It's my pleasure and privilege to bring you an important gospel message from God's Word this morning, dear fellow redeemed. I'd like you to think back to the last time you had the flu. The real flu, the one that makes you lie down. You had a fever and you ached all over. You may have been congested and your head was stuffed up. You knew that you'd eventually be better after a few days, but every day seemed to pass slower and slower. Each day you were sick seemed like 2 days. Finally, the fever breaks and you do begin to feel a little better. Now, if you can identify with that, perhaps you can also identify with King David when he wrote the words of this psalm. No, it wasn't sickness that caused David to write these words. It was sin that made David feel miserable. Time passed slowly. There were restless nights. David couldn't enjoy sleep. And like many believers, waiting for relief, David asked, O Lord, how long? And we'll make that question the theme for our sermon this morning. David begins our text with a plea to God. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. One immediately asks, what great sin had David committed that he was trying to get away from God's wrath? Well, we don't know whether this prayer was in response to a specific sin that David had committed. We know some doozies from his past. Maybe the king was feeling the weight of his guilt as a sinner in general. Whatever the case, we get the real sense that David understood the importance of sin, that David took sin seriously. In fact, every Old Testament Israelite shouldn't have had any trouble understanding how serious sin is. In fact, the worship life of those Old Testament Jews revolved around paying for sin, and they paid for it symbolically with blood. The wages of sin is death, Paul said. Well, that was demonstrated graphically with every bloody sacrifice that was all offered on the altar in the temple. So people, families would go to the temple and watch their animal sacrifices being slaughtered. And when they saw that, they knew for sure that sin brings death. The two are connected. The animal's blood spattered on the altar reinforced the idea in their minds that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Sin is very serious. David's approach to sin sets a good example for us, because far too people today take sin very seriously. They may acknowledge that sin is bad, but not too bad. It's like a character flaw. It's too bad it's there, but they can live with it. God is not a pushover. When people sin against him and against his law, it's like slapping him in the face. And God at that point does not turn around and say, oh, that's okay. Over and over again, the Bible shows that God is very serious about sin. David knew that God was a God of justice. God can't threaten to punish someone for sin and then go back on his word. That would make him unfaithful to himself. Sin has to be punished. By the way, David's sin not only weighed heavily on his conscience and his heart, but it also affected him physically. Our text says, O Lord, my bones are troubled. And a little later it says, I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. I'm reminded of a familiar hymn verse where Martin Luther expresses similar feelings. He said, Fast bound in Satan's chains I lay. Death brooded darkly o'er me. Sin was my torment night and day. In sin my mother bore me. Yet deep and deeper still I fell. Life had become a living hell. So firmly sin possessed me. Now, Satan makes sin look enticing, beneficial, and attractive. But it's a mirage, because once you open your heart to sin, sin moves in and it becomes a harsh master. Sin destroys lives. It ruins health. It breaks up families. It leads to addiction. Sin burdens a conscience with guilt. And, as David notes, can rob you of your sleep. And yes, of course, worst of all, sin will ultimately lead to eternal damnation in hell. It's clear from the psalm that David was suffering a lot of these things. He was in misery. He was longing for a time when he would be delivered. One thinks of someone suffering the unrelenting pain of a migraine headache. You might understand how David's desire for relief is so intense. How long, O Lord, how long? But the good news is that King David knew exactly where to go to find relief. He says, Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. When your eyes aren't working properly, you see the optometrist. If you have cancer, you see the oncologist. We want to see someone who's an expert and can help relieve whatever problem we have. And when it comes to relieving the hurt of sin, there's no better expert on forgiveness of sin than Jesus Christ. Now, there are plenty of self-proclaimed experts today on the relief from guilt. Not just secular therapists and counselors, for which there may be legitimate uses, of course, in this life, but even preachers and theologians. The idea many of them advance usually make the mistake of suggesting that forgiveness is somehow or in part based upon what you do. And if you strip away the fancy words and doublespeak, you end up with good old-fashioned work righteousness. Smile on me, O Lord, because I'm pretty good. That is false teaching. Now, notice the basis for David's appeal. For the sake of your steadfast love, he says to God. David is described in the Bible as a great man, a man after God's own heart. God really loved David. He was a devout believer, and he put his trust in God. I suspect that his faith during most of his life would put ours to shame. And yet, in spite of his status before God, David knew he couldn't possibly base his appeal on his own behavior. That would gain him nothing from God. And if that was true for David, who was a man after God's own heart, it has to be true for us, too. Take a look, a hard look at your own life. Would you describe yourself as a person after God's own heart? What about those times when you skip church to sleep in or follow after some other activity? What about those times when you were wrongly angry with someone and bitter? What about those times you lapsed into the gossip pool at work when you knew better? What about times when a friend merely wanted someone to listen to them, but you couldn't be bothered? What about that time you lied to get out of a tough spot? Or those at barnyard language or even curse words that come rolling out of your mouth? Are you a person really after God's own heart? Neither am I. And so, like David, we have to appeal to God how? For the sake of his steadfast love. A lovely phrase that David uses to describe God's love, steadfast. Humans don't love that way. Human love is often conditional. If you please me, I will grant you my love. Displease me and you'll lose my friendship. A child may hear that from someone on the playground. A newlywed may hear that from her spouse, but that is not the way of God's love. God loves us whether we're obedient or disobedient, whether we remember him or forget him, whether we love him or are angry with him. Steadfast love, that means completely unconditional, always available. That's the kind of love God has for us. You know, you can see that love in action, God's love, in the person of Jesus Christ, who is, of course, God himself. His love for his disciples, even the ones who betrayed him and denied him. You can hear Jesus ask for forgiveness for those who nailed him to the cross. See his willingness to endure all that mocking he received during his passion and the greatest injustice, the sinless Son of God dying to pay for the guilt of sinners. That's God's love for us. And the result is that you and I have that relief, that forgiveness that we so desperately need. That's what David was looking for. That's what you and I and all believers want. To be told that the guilt of our sins is gone and that we are right with God. Again, the hymn writer. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. It makes the wounded spirit whole. It calms the troubled breast. It's manna to the hungry soul and to the weary rest. This is true, and yet even here we still ask, like David does, O Lord, how long? How long do we have to keep struggling with sin? How long until you grant us the eternal rest that you promised us? How long until we can be with you eternally in heaven? Believers know that by faith we have a great relationship with our God and our Savior, even now here in this life, but we also know that the best is yet to come. We long for that day and pray, come Lord Jesus, deliver us from the present evil age. This psalm is the first of seven psalms that are called the penitential psalms. And these are psalms that both cry out for deliverance and praise God for deliverance received. And we're in the same boat. We groan under the misery of sin, sin in this world and sin from ourselves. And we also eagerly await our final deliverance. How long, O Lord, how long? Amen. That same peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.